Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi The Next Generation every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
I'm your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are back to recap Season 6, Episode 13, titled If You Leave. But before we get into that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
Also, if you notice that Terry sounds different, it's because she lost the cord to her microphone.
Yes. So what you hear today is what you get. My headphones are also noise canceling, so I'm trying to be louder so you can hear me because I might be whispering, but we'll see.
We did say that we'll be back whatever it takes. And so this is what it takes to be back.
Yes, it was that or search for another 30 minutes, and we don't have the time for that today.
Not at all. Okay, so I do have 6 trivia questions, which doesn't make any sense because this is a one-part episode.
I'm scared.
What is the name of the boy who killed JT?
Drake. Drake!
I was hoping you'd say it like that. What type of powder does Manny like on her popcorn?
Is it cheddar?
No, it's a Canadian thing.
Oh, I see. I wasn't going to get that. What the hell?
Ketchup.
Gross.
What food did Marco prepare for Dylan?
Oh my God. It was like this. It was steak, like his aunt's recipe or something.
Yes. Called it
something different though. Bistake.
Yes. Who did Ellie go to the movies with?
Oh my goodness. I remember him telling Dylan that she went to the movies. I have no clue. It wasn't. Is she not with Jesse anymore?
Kiko and Suki, but who the fuck are they?
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. They totally just like improv that because who are those people?
So they've consistently mentioned these roommates. Have we ever seen other roommates?
No.
Who the fuck are Kiko and Suki?
It's the equivalent of, what is it, Heather Sinclair?
Right. In fact, somebody asked a question on the Degrassi Reddit about, like, other characters who exist but we don't talk about, or, like, who exist but we never see. And now I'm going to go comment and be like, when do we see Kiko and Suki?
Those names are so specific, too, that it's funny. Because it's like, we really never see them.
It's like, oh, they're out of town. Oh, she's using their room. Oh, and I'm like, it took me forever to realize that there were other roommates in there. Right.
Because there's already so many of them. And I guess it makes sense because it's college. But it's like, you could have just had it be y'all and it would have been believable.
Right. I mean, honestly, the house is large. I don't know. I just assumed that it was just them.
Right. That makes sense because it's already like 4 of them. I unfortunately lived with 2 other roommates and that was horrible. So
I used to live in a house. I always called it like my real world house. I want to say there were like 6 people in that house.
That's crazy. I don't know if I could do all that.
More questions. What book are they reading in Miss Kwan's class?
Oh, child. It's not Shakespeare. It's not Macbeth. Romeo and Juliet.
King Lear, which is Shakespeare.
Okay. That's believable.
Who has Dylan been meeting up with? What is the name of the person he's been meeting up with?
Oh my goodness. Starts with a J. What is this man's name? What is this man's name? It's not Jared. Jarab.
Julian Gerber. Girl, I think you got a 33% today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure you got 2 questions right.
That is funny. That was a lot of questions for this episode, right?
And for what?
I considered nothing was going on, but you really got me.
Do you have any tidbits?
I do. We also posted this on our Instagram today. And obviously, if you're a Degrassi stan, then you've already known because you sent me this article last week. But I think knock on wood, because this is what happened last time when we discussed the Degrassi HBO series and it just never came to fruition. But there is a 3-part Degrassi documentary coming from Wildbrain, produced in partnership with Peacock Alley. That means nothing to me, but nonetheless, it's going to feature behind the scenes footage and interviews. And it's a 3-hour documentary, and they'll dive into Degrassi lore and teenage experience and its creators, cast, crew, and fans, and discuss its legacy that has existed for over 40 years. Wow. So I'm looking forward to that. There's no release date or anything yet, but there is a documentary coming. And I think they're trying to make up for the fact we didn't get a reboot of it. So
they better not put it somewhere that like I don't have access to, because I'm so sick
right. of it. That's why I'm just like, they talked about who was making it, but I'm like, okay, so where do they stream though? Because
right.
but that's exciting. I'm very excited, especially if they're gonna include cast members. It'll be like a nice throwback to see people like actually discuss Degrassi in one place versus like on their own platforms. Because a lot of people like pay homage to Degrassi in their own ways, but everyone being in one sitting and doing it should be interesting.
But will Drake be there?
Yes, that's my biggest thing, and I wonder if he would like do it for the love, or like how expensive it would be to get him to even sit down and talk about it.
He's probably too expensive for them, but like he claims them so often.
He does, and like when he sees the other cast members, like they show each other love. He did the whole music video, so it's like believable. But then it's also, I could see it being something where they're like, we don't even want, like that would just be what people are watching for. So maybe, but then also it would just be all about him.
Yeah, it would overshadow it, but it would get them so much attention.
100%.
So if you're Drake and you're listening, you're not, you should do it. It should be like your charity project.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think that's why it's funny on the teaser photos of it. Like they definitely made a point to put his photo on it. So hopefully that means something, or maybe that's the only thing they could get.
I would also, again, Drake, you don't need the money, okay?
No.
I'm not counting your coins, but I'm assuming you don't need the money. But are you still mad that, first of all, your checks from them were like 7 cents?
Right.
And that one day you just showed up and you were just written off the show. I mean, like, if I were petty, I'd be like, I bet you would want me to come back and do this with you. Maybe you should have gotten rid of me a little bit nicer.
Yeah, Drake is also a Scorpio, so I could really see him not pulling up.
Exactly.
For that reason. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, because he'll rap about how he was, like, supporting his mom or, like, helping his family during his acting career, and that's wild to think about because they were making pennies in comparison.
Right.
To what he makes now, at least. But apparently he's supposed to be, like, sitting down and not touring and XYZ because of his stomach issues, but he literally just announced another tour.
He has stomach issues? What's wrong with his stomach?
Girl, I don't know. It was in some interview, or maybe, like, when they released his album, he did an interview show on OVO Radio, and he said, yeah, I'm trying to sit down for a year and, like, handle my health. And then he mentioned, like, having stomach issues. Like, okay.
He do need to sit down.
And he won't, but he won't sit down for this damn Degrassi thing, so...
But also, they also had that event over the weekend or whatever, where they didn't something go on with somebody's Hall of Fame.
I saw that, yeah. Because people were together, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I loved seeing all the pictures of the castmates hanging out. People have been, we talked briefly a couple weeks ago about people making comments about Mary McDonald and like, where is she? Mm. I hope she's well. She was at the event. A lot of the characters who I haven't seen in a while, the person who played Adam, I forget what their name is in real life.
I do too. Dozy. Yeah.
It starts with their last name starts with a T. She was there and took a picture with Becky because they were a couple on the show, Adam and Becky. And I feel like I had not seen her in a minute. The last I saw her was, no shade, a couple years ago. I think she had like an OnlyFans account.
Again, I do remember that.
Emphasis on like the no shade, but just facts only, right?
Yeah.
And who else? Who else was I surprised to see?
Oops.
I don't remember, but the pictures were fun to look at.
Yeah, no, it's always fun.
We're here, so we clearly ate that stuff right up.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Now what
they invited to a podcast host. If y'all are ever looking to open that up to 3 and 4, here we are.
Yes, that's exciting though, because it really is like obviously Degrassi is iconic, but the things that keep it alive are like the Reddits and the podcasts and the people that like are continuing to talk about it even years later. So makes sense that they were like inducted into like a Hall of Fame and that they're even able to do a three-part documentary because again, the show's been around since the 80s, so that's
Because
nuts.
we are not letting this die, and it could always
No.
come back at any time. It really could. You could still bring it back with TNG
Yeah.
cast's parents, and it doesn't have to be
Absolutely.
a kid who they had on the show. Like Emma today could still have, I mean, she was my age.
Yeah.
So with that being said, depending on when she had a kid, she could have a 13-year-old right now.
Yeah.
Her and
Yeah.
Spinner.
I
Anyway, so that's the news. Those are the trivias. We can get into our recap. Starting off with Plot B. Plot B begins with Marco returning from class. He's talking about needing to pull an all-nighter, and he is being turned by Dylan to spend time together. Not sure what I was writing. I guess he was turned down. Oh, he tries to spend time with Dylan, and Dylan is like, no thanks. Dylan tells Marco, we live together. We see each other plenty. And he leaves to go hang out with his friends on the hockey team. I feel like couples that live together not realizing that you have to actually prioritize time is a huge bear or like issue of couples that first start living together. It's like, I see you all the time. We wake up next to each other, we go to bed together. And so I feel like there's always that one who is like, I want to spend more time. We don't have quality time, we don't have dates. And the one who's like, but I see you all the time. I don't understand.
Yeah, like it counts for different things depending on who the person is, but it's definitely an adjustment because you can go from not seeing them often to be like, well, we see each other every day, so that works for me. But, and they're
So,
also in school, so that's different too. Like they're probably just so busy.
and who has the time? Not I, but anyway, I want to know. Like how the Squatchware store still exists because
Right.
I'm just so confused. Spinner and Jimmy are in the store. It always looks like it's about to close to me, but apparently it doesn't.
Has like all the clearance signs out front too.
I'm so confused. So they're playing video games. They have a depressed Marco. I'm crying because Spinner asks if Dylan has a My Room page. And I did not understand where he was getting at until I realized he was like Darcy.
Yeah. Like, I know where this could be going.
I was like, yeah, that's fair. All right. Jimmy tells Marco to shut up. No, he tells Spinner to shut up. And he advises Marco, you should cook Dylan dinner, put on some cologne, and chill. There was a fourth C, but I don't remember it. And I didn't feel like going back. It was like cologne, chill, cook.
Candles and cook.
Mate, something stupid. It didn't matter though, because Dylan shows up late. And even though Dylan has been blatantly pulling away, Marco uses dinner as the opportunity to express that he hopes next year he and Dylan will have a place of their own. And Dylan gives an ominous remark, reminiscent of my child's babysitter, who was always like, Si Dios quiere. And he's like, who knows? Who knows what could happen between now and then? If the Lord wills it. And Marco's like, does the Lord not will? Then Dylan gets a phone call on the phone, even though he claimed to Marco that he didn't call because his phone was dead. And he excuses himself from dinner. Shady, shady business, no.
No, he's so shady. And knowing their history too, it's kind of like you would think that he would prioritize like being very open and like even like make like not overdoing it because that's annoying. Like don't be with each other if you have to do all that, but you would think that you wouldn't do things that look that way because obviously he's
And
gonna like run with
I understand why he's moving under the radar with whatever is going on with him, but I don't understand why he pretended his phone was off and couldn't call Marco.
Yeah, that doesn't add up to me because that's just like that sounds shady. So I too would be very sus about it. But if you had to go take a phone call in another room, that's not as weird.
Right. Anyway, so Marco lets his curiosity get the best of him, and I don't blame him, like we just said.
Yeah.
Like it would have been me. And he goes through Dylan's email and he discovers that Dylan has been secretly communicating with someone named Julian Gerber. I'm wondering how people used to cheat before they had phone calls. Because, like, think about it. Remember back in season 3 when Manny was calling up the house phone?
The house phone is the dead giveaway.
Like, that's crazy. Think about it. You have no cell phone and you have no email. How were y'all cheating?
Girl, they was going to find a way. Imagine doing it with pagers and stuff like that. Like, that's the crazy thing. You had to get a ping and then go somewhere to make the call.
That pager was how they were cheating.
That's crazy.
You know what? I'll just say it. Would it be wrong for me to ask my dad?
You're so silly. I'm dead.
I mean, like, who else am I going to ask? I gotta ask him, how were you making it happen in the 1990s?
In the 90s is actually nutty.
All right. Anyway, Marco had the bright idea to show up at the scheduled lunch that Dylan had with Julian uninvited. Also, cannot blame him. Probably would have done the same. Apparently, Julian is from a team in Switzerland, and he's recruiting Dylan to come join his team. Dylan gets really emotional and says that Marco isn't proud of him. And Marco says, but I am proud of you. And they get sentimental, and the plot line ends.
But what? So,
I mean, like, I feel like I can see both sides. Mm-hmm. I think that Dylan was being shady. He did not need to be shady. But I can see about why he'd move on the low. And I can see why Marco would be upset. And I can see why Dylan would feel that Marco being upset is, like, hurtful and unsupportive. So,
yeah, I thought this was going to be the last time we saw them, but that's not what the Degrassi fandom wiki says, so. It just seems like an in short ending. It's like, okay, well, now you're going to Switzerland. We both also cut our hair and have different hairstyles. So it's obvious that we're not about to be here very long because we're just doing these things that are very obvious. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even think they should have did the whole dance of like getting back together and like all that stuff for this reason, because they're about to go and like do different things.
Because why? Why did they bring Dylan back just to get rid of him?
Yeah. My suspicion is that it, like, literally the college aspect of it just, it wasn't panning out. Because, again, who are these roommates we never see? What are they actually doing? Like, none of it really makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know what the long-term planning was.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like things go as they go. For Paige, I just got questions. Anyway,
yeah, probably spinoffs. They were probably shooting for spinoffs and it didn't work.
And they should have. I would have watched that, a grownish version of Degrassi.
Yes, by itself, not with a plot A in Degrassi High School and then plot B Degrassi College.
Missed opportunity. Anyway, you ready for plot A?
Yes.
In plot A of this episode, I don't know why the cheerleaders entirely snub Emma at practice in the afternoon. Why are, like, I don't know why Emma's there, but I also don't know why they're mean.
I could not recall that. I was like, did she get something canceled? But that's, like, this episode.
Exactly. Like, I know why y'all don't like her, because I don't like her either, but I don't know why y'all are so confident being so mean.
Right.
But yeah, so Emma's waiting at practice for Manny. I have a lot of questions. I want to know. Emma is consistently a hating ass bitch on Spirit Squad. Manny is super excited for the Spirit Squad prospects, and Emma wants to bring up old shit. Okay. And by old shit, I mean stuff that happened 2 episodes ago, but I don't care. Because she's like, JT is no longer here. No, he's not. Because he's dead. Emma,
girl.
And she's like, you know what? It's fine. I'm just not feeling myself. But Manny, let's go get lattes. And Manny's like, I can't. I gotta go do some stuff. And Emma's like, oh, are you meeting Damien from the enemy school? And Manny's like, no, you hating asshole. I'm meeting my mother. And Manny tells Emma that she's gonna go talk to her mom about moving home. And she asks Emma, please don't be mad, which is sad.
Yeah. Girl, I feel like it's been so long since I watched an episode. It hasn't been that long. It's been a week. But, like, I read the overview and forgot who Manny was even supposed to be dating at this point. I'm like, who is she with now? And, like,
the Damien period is just so blah.
It's giving that.
I remember nothing and care nothing about this period.
Yeah. And the funny thing about like Emma being mad is like, or being mad about like Manny potentially moving out, it's like there actually has never been room for you in that house since your brother has been born. So there definitely wasn't room for you and Manny. I think you might just need to let her leave.
And not just her and Manny. Her, Manny, Sean, who doesn't live in this little halfway house they got going on?
Sneaking in and out the basement too. Like, they're what? Nutty. Yeah, no, you gotta let her go.
So Emma is upset, of course, that Manny's leaving. She can't believe that Manny would leave her while her home is in the middle of a murder investigation.
They're my parents. Your mom and Archie are great, but they're not my family. And this isn't my home.
Who can be mad at that?
Yeah, truthfully. I forgot that it was at Emma's house. That's crazy.
See, Manny assures Emma that she will visit constantly and it will be like she never left. Darcy has some nerve because why do she and Manny request that Mia join the spirit squad out of desperation to increase their chances and forgetting that, I don't know if you remember this, her boyfriend just died 2 episodes ago.
2 episodes and 2 weeks in Degrassi time.
Oh my God. So Mia's like, hey, did y'all remember my boyfriend died? And yes, for a timeline check, she said 2 weeks ago, just as you just said. So like, she actually tells him it was 2 weeks ago.
Right. Leave Manny me alone.
Manny and Darcy walk away only for Emma's nosy ass to step in. We as the viewers learn that Lakehurst is invited to whatever this is. This is a cheerleading event. And Mia and Emma are not happy about this. But if you know our girl Emma Nelson, you know that a protest is on the rise. But I was happily surprised in this moment because Mia wants to protest, but Emma's like, no, it'll assist in mending fences. But of course, it can't last for long, and we'll get there. So later that day, Manny is wearing a long red sweater dress with a white button-up shirt underneath, and I guess it was so ugly that I said I need to include a description of this outfit. She's excited about a date with Damien, and Sean remarks that Damien is friends with the freak who killed JT, but he's not friends with Drake, and he's never even spoken to him. Manny tells Emma to let her parents know that she's with Emma if they call during Manny's date with Damien, and Emma invites Manny over after her date to watch what sounded like Grey's Anatomy. How is the show still on? Yeah,
right.
She's like, with popcorn and ketchup powder. We later see Manny enjoying her date with Damien, and instead of being honest with Emma, Manny decides to lie and say her dad is being a tyrant. Now, if you recall, 4 seasons ago, Manny lied to Emma about her whereabouts. She called and pretended she was sick. And Emma was not happy when she realized that she was lying. So if you remember how that went 4 seasons ago, you can only imagine what's going to happen the next time Emma realizes she's being ditched. And of course we know, Manny's going to get caught in her lie. And she did. Because her dad called Emma's house looking for Manny. Miss Kwan interrupts Manny and Emma's chat about Damien to introduce her new book, King Lear, a tragic tale about sisters fighting for what they deserve. So I was like, I wonder if the placement of this book was important. So I went on a deep dive. So I can let you know. I Googled the story and I encountered a 3-minute Shakespeare explanation video on YouTube. So if you haven't read it like I haven't, you're going to on for a ride with me. Actually, not really, because I still couldn't tell you anything about the story except... Everybody dies.
Sounds right.
So a king forces his daughter to proclaim their love for him in order to access their share of their inherited kingdom. 2 of the 3 daughters comply, but the one daughter says, no, I'm not kissing ass. So he banishes her from the kingdom. So she's like, that's fine. I'm going to go marry the king of France. So some man named... Okay, so I actually wrote in parentheses, I'm not going to pronounce... it properly. I don't know what his name was. It looks like Gloucester. I'm gonna call it Gloucester. That's definitely not how you say it. It's not how you say it by any means. It was like, but that's what I'm gonna call him. Gloucester has an illegitimate son and a legitimate one, whatever that means. I mean, we know what it means, but like, whatever. And what Gloucester's son, one of them, ends up plucking out his eyes and forcing some other boy, the legitimate son, to go find the king. And the king is wandering in the storm. I don't understand how you can find somebody who's when you're blind and you don't have eyes. But so this guy is wandering through a storm with no eyes looking for the king. And then the banished daughter shows up with her man to rescue her daddy. Not sure why, because you just said you didn't want to prove your love for him. And she's like, I got my rich husband from France behind me. And I'm going to challenge my kiss-ass sisters to a duel because I'm going to take their share of the land. One of the kiss-ass sisters, who is somehow now single at this point, she hooks up with the Gloucester's illegitimate son. I just really love how wrong I'm saying this name. So she gets with Gloucester's illegitimate son, Edmund. But her other kiss-ass sister is jealous because I guess she was like, I wanted Edmund. So her other sister kills the one sister who was a kiss-ass. So one kiss-ass kills the other kiss-ass and then kills herself. All over a man. Yes, they killed themselves over Gloucester's illegitimate son. And somehow the banished daughter, who actually rekindled her relationship with the father, ends up executed by Gloucester's illegitimate son. Meanwhile, King Lear dies of sorrow because all his daughters are dead. I still don't know who that man is. His sons square up. So his illegitimate and his legitimate son square up. And the illegitimate one dies, and some bitch named Albany pops up, and she runs the broken Britain with Gloucester's legitimate son. So Gloucester is on the come up, even though he ain't got no eyes. And so that is how I still have no idea. Everybody dies. Everybody dies except for somebody's legitimate son and his wife, Albany. And the blind Gloucester, whose name is not Gloucester. And I cannot wait to figure out how to pronounce it after this episode.
I literally just muted myself so I could listen to the internet try to pronounce it. Because I think there's a city in England named after that person.
How do you say it?
How do you pronounce Gloucester.
Yeah, that's Gloucester. Okay.
Gloucester.
Well, that's good for y'all, but I'm gonna call it Gloucester.
It's the extra like syllables and stuff in there. That's so funny.
All right. So the conclusion is that the plot of that book that Ms. Kwan introduced during the class seems to have absolutely nothing to do with the plot A.
I thought like it was gonna go somewhere because it was like the sisters fighting because like the girls are fighting, but that's like the only thing they had in common.
Yeah, like she's like fighting for what they believe in. That's about it. And I'm not really seeing any parallels here. But you know what? I'm not big on Shakespeare, so call it what you will. All right, so Manny invites Emma back to our plot A. She invites Emma and Sean to the dot to meet up with her and Damien. I want to know why Emma brought Sean.
Right.
Because then he's just rude.
Literally rude. Like, before they even got there, Emma should have at least been like, Sean, do not come if you're going to act like this. Or Emma should have told Manny he's not going to, like, budge on this, like, topic. So don't even invite him. But here we are.
Sean asked Damien, how are things at Lakehurst? Because last time I heard, one of your students was in jail, which was really confusing for me. Because do you remember where Sean was at the beginning of the season?
Right. Oh, that's funny, because one of the Degrassi students was also in jail at the top of the year.
Do you know the address there? Did you not want to? Because that could have been your bunkie.
Yeah. Like, okay, with the shade.
It was very confusing. Somehow Mia is also present at the dot at this time to overhear the conversation. And next thing we need is for Liberty and Toby to barge in. And guess what? Mia walks by and she calls Damien out for being friends with Drake, the guy who killed JT. And Damien's like, I wasn't friends with that dirty ass boy. Every day, Emma chooses the wrong side. And I know y'all were listening to this. And if you haven't been with us along the ride, you might be like, maybe today Emma's going to choose the right side.
No.
Do you think that's what she does?
Mm-mm.
No. She sides with corny ass drug dealing JT, who is dead, mind you. So he has no idea that y'all are coming to his defenses over her living best friend, Manny.
Yeah. And just like an unrelated, like, yes, that person did kill JT, but that school did not do that. Damien did not do that. Like, what else do you want? You know, this also reminds me of, and I think this has to be the episode title, is the Jersey Shore scene where it's like, are you friends with her? Yes or no? Tell me, are you friends with her? Because is Damien friends with Drake? Like, even after Mia stepped in, do we ever get confirmation that they're actually friends, or did they just know each other in passing? Is anyone going to tell us?
Yeah. Well, so what was the truth?
Right. What's the truth?
And I couldn't tell you. And even if you are friends with someone, like, do you know who was also friends with a shooter or an attempted murderer?
Right.
His name is Toby. And wow, he was friends with Rick. And we could, well, I mean, actually, you guys couldn't. Because if we recall correctly, JT was bullying Toby over his friendship with Rick. So, I mean.
Wow.
It's crazy how things come back and they don't math.
Wow, that's such an interesting callback, because that's so true. Like, JT was also doing it, but it was wrong. So y'all are all wrong.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. Every time. Anyway, so Emma chooses wrong, and she catches herself accusing Manny of sleeping with the enemy. And so, no, she does not end up checking her felon bae boyfriend for his behavior.
You know what, Emma? I'm so glad I moved home, because now I don't have to see your mean, judgmental, stuck-up little face anymore.
Who sees lies? Do you?
Not a lie was told. Manny has never... She's told a lie to Emma, but she's never told a lie about Emma, you know? Mm-hmm.
She calls it like I see it.
Right.
The next day, Emma starts throwing very cheesy shade at Manny, and Manny simply tells her, you know what, bitch, how about you not? And I just want to rewind to say that, like, based off their behavior, Emma and Sean actually do deserve each other. A couple episodes I was like, you know what, Emma, you deserve better than Sean. And in this episode, I'm like, actually, Emma, you deserve Sean.
They're meant to be.
I wish that Manny would give better insults at Emma, but we're giving what we give. And Emma's request to bring up a discussion topic, and I wonder how anything she's going to say is related to media immersion, but like Snake, I was curious to know more. But I've had enough of Emma this episode. Toby says it should be canceled, and Emma says that allowing Lakehurst to attend allows them to rub Degrassi's nose in what their student did. I'm crying, because before the Spirit Squad ends up doing their performance, Manny's like, let's do it for JT. JT wants to know why he's in it.
Girl. I'm trying to figure out, though, why it's 2 weeks later and they doing this. Like, I know you got to get back to normal, but it sounds like y'all missing a key component, and that's like grief counselors or Miss Sove, maybe, because the children are childrening. They're acting out because they're grieving, and I'm not mad at them for that. I'm mad at the lack of support they have to do so, because now they're taking it out on this competition.
Because we did so much when Jimmy got shot.
Right, and that happened at the school.
And then y'all have people get stabbed, and this is what they act like when y'all don't have the grief counselors available.
Right, and you have the school that it happened come for a competition. Y'all, like, honestly, the school is dead wrong here, because why did they do that? But, like, that's why the kids are acting the way they are, because they feel like they're not being heard.
But you know what? They also tried to resolve conflicts among children.
Yeah.
Let's have the VP from this school and the VP from that school have a conflict with no adults present.
I forgot that happened. And where did that get us?
And we'll never see old girl again. What was her name? Naomi? I don't remember.
Oh, yes. The other VP or whatever. Or president. Whatever. Yeah. To the black hole.
I also wanted to know, why is Sean at the performance? Because if you recall, he doesn't even go here.
Doesn't go here, child. Like, expelled twice.
Emma ends up leading a chant during Lakehurst's performance, but Degrassi does come out on top and they win. But Manny's not pleased. Emma's being a huge bitch, and she's incredibly sarcastic about how Manny Santos has cured the school with her spirit squat when Damien replies,
"Now I know why Manny was your only friend. She's a saint to put up with your crap."
Read her, okay.
Let someone say it. So Sean gets offended, and he somehow this erupts into a brawl or something. Honestly, bringing Lakehurst and Degrassi together, as you said, was a poor choice, and there was not enough adult support. And suddenly, after the fight, the police show up. Where were y'all before the fight broke out?
Again, yes. Why was there not heightened security? Why do y'all still not have metal detectors? I'm confused.
Emma tries her hand at emotional acting again, and I'm not convinced that she gave a shit about JT by her performance. Like, when was the last time she talked to JT?
Girl, probably not even a night at the party.
I strongly appreciate Snake. And he says, he's like, "I'm not going to fall for your emotions this time." And he tells her,
"But you can't blame Manny. She's not the enemy. Emma, she's your best friend. And maybe it's time that you remember that."
He better earn his counseling degree, because I see that.
Girl, working, okay?
Emma got mad because Manny bailed on her and took it out on an entire school in the name of JT. That's what she does.
Girl.
Like, don't you remember when she used Manny's desire to be an actress to fuel her secret disordered eating habits?
Yeah.
She'd be doing sneaky shit all the time. Now, I guess she was very sick then, so, like, whatever. But do you remember when she was pissed at Manny for hanging out with Paige, and she used that to fuel her campaign against Spirit Squad and calling it sexist? It's like she finds sneaky ways to be like, "I'm upset about this, so I'm going to go about it the white way." And we're tired of it.
Tired, girl.
Anyway, Emma calls Manny over to her home to remind her of where JT died, but the first words out of her mouth should have been an apology. She does eventually end up apologizing, but it wasn't good enough for me. But Manny is, of course, a saint, because she says anything they've gotten through, they've done so together, and somehow they end up friends again. But Emma should have been left in the past. That's it.
That's it.
Any morals?
My moral was that Degrassi just needs better guidance and more counselors, because they expect children to move on too quickly after traumatic instances.
My moral is that once you leave a friend, keep him left.
Don't double back.
Right. Stop doubling back to Emma. She's a terrible friend and she's annoying.
Yes. Yeah, she has Sean. You just got to leave her with Sean.
Yeah. Let her live her life. As stupid as it is.
Girl.
Well, we've been at almost 40 minutes, so we've been chatty today. Any other comments?
No, I feel like we covered everything again, and I thought that episode didn't have too much, but here we are.
Well. All right. Next on Degrassi. Stressed at Banting. Is it a two-part episode? I think so.
It is, yes.
Oh, wow. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 6 episodes, but 4 recaps, if that makes sense, because there are 2 two-part episodes. The math. Anyway, next on Degrassi. Stressed at Banting, Paige has a panic attack during an exam. When a professor gives her another chance, she has to juggle catching up on her schoolwork and preparing for a huge family dinner. Meanwhile, Peter wants forgiveness from Darcy, but finds out he has his work cut out for him. I mean, he has to actually apologize, which, fun fact, I don't think he ever actually says the words "I apologize" or "I'm sorry" in the entire episode. I do not know how y'all stand for his ass.
None of that surprises me.
But yeah, so that's that. And we'll talk more about it next week. I hate that man. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts, or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airwaves this time next week. Whatever.